Hey, Hicken here. Thanks for checking out the 1010XL On Demand. It's brought to you by Kuhn Flowers. Locations on Beach Boulevard and in Ponte Vedra. Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Second and eight. Kenny of the shotgun. Back to throw. Blitz coming. Kenny turns and finds C.J. Schwartz. Makes a man miss. He's on the run. There he goes. He's to the 50. He's to the 40. Trying to go back to the inside. He's free. He's at the 30. Cecil 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. Cecil Schwartz. Back to throw. Henny has time. Launches this pass, and it will be caught. Justin Blackman. And he breaks the tackle. He's on the run. Blackman's at the 30. He's at the 20. He's at the 10. 5. Touchdown. Touchdown, Jacksonville. 81 yards.
Live from TIAA Bank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. We are field side, baby. It is the first time it feels like football around these parts, Tony, at least for me, in the 2019 offseason, because we're out and about. You're not usually out here till training camp.
No, not usually, no.
And we appreciate
it. They've had us out here before for, like, I can remember we were here with the rookie minicamp in 2016.
Yes, but it was open to the public, right?
Yeah, in 2016, because we had Miles Jack come over after his first practice.
That's right.
And then he had to go back to California.
go back to school.
Yeah, had to go back out there because of that
Pac-12
rule. But yeah, we've been out here for this part of the offseason before, but not for a while.
Not often, yeah. And not when it's a closed practice like this. So we do appreciate the Jaguars. They are our partners. You know, we're their broadcast partner, and we'll try our very best to adhere 100% to the media guidelines. And it basically, look, it's just common sense stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Just don't say – stuff that the team wouldn't want.
Yeah, don't talk about formations.
Right?
Don't talk about
trick
plays
or who's lining up
stuff,
where. What kind of
right.
routes are running and things like
right.
that. But
you can speak in generalities. Like X looked good.
You can tweet during these practices, which you can't always do.
Yep.
During like a training camp practice or whatever the case. Oh, Hackers just rolled in here. It's official now. OTAs have begun. Hacker, can I get a? It has begun out of you, please. That's a good man right there, Hack. I appreciate that. He usually says that for training camp. But Doug Marone's going to speak right out here field side,
yeah.
Tony. You know, had we realized that, maybe we could have hooked up some way to carry that live. But we will have Doug Marone's comments
mm-hmm.
As he opens up organized team activities. If you're wondering what OTAs stand for, we talk about OTAs all the time. I know a lot of people do know what that is. It is interesting to see. At this time of year, certain members of the media decide now's the time to start getting in shape. I'm pointing at J.P. Shadrick here, right?
Sure.
He came out with a long-sleeve shirt, had a little bit maybe of a beer gut working, and then on top of the long-sleeve shirt, he threw on a long-sleeve hoodie.
Yeah.
On top of that.
What is going on here?
Well,
is he trying to make the wrestling team?
He's in training,
he's
right?
Cutting weight.
He's got to make weight, man. he wants to be a cruiserweight. I'm like, bro, super heavyweight. Just go with it. Accept what nature has given you and go that direction. JP's going to swing by at the bottom of the hour and tell us firsthand what he heard from Doug Marone as things get ready to open up. It's interesting because typically, with a practice not starting until 10:45,
mm-hmm.
all these media would be stuck inside
oh,
with
sure.
the air conditioning. Jeff Prosser says we're soft because we got the tent. We're sitting here with my bald head. Well, I do have a hat on, but I don't need the sun beating down
no.
on me. And we'll say it's for the equipment. It's not for the equipment. It's for me, right?
Sure.
I need a tent to sit out here for 2 hours, and it's going to be
sit
hot
out
enough.
Here in the direct sun.
Right.
No, thank you.
No, thanks. Not if we have the option. Oh, by the way, if they offered you an awning over where you stand by the field, I bet you'd take it,
I'd
right?
I'd take that, too,
I'd take
yeah.
that in a heartbeat. You got any fans?
And
or
if there was only one awning, then there would be a rush to get to the awning.
There's no question. You know, in fact, you don't talk about soft media. If you look in the media policy, you will note that there is no sitting allowed
yep.
except in the bleachers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And last year, select members of the media decided to take advantage of that.
Sure.
And they just moseyed on up to the bleachers and said, I can see just as well from here as
sure.
anywhere else, and I can sit my butt down. Of course, it's about 8 billion degrees sometimes on those metal bleachers.
Yeah, and we're it feels like we're getting into our first week of summer, doesn't it? It's supposed to get into the 90s this weekend.
I was watching some channel this morning, and I heard 100. 100. I saw the forecast for Saturday is 97.
Hello,
is
May.
What I saw. May.
Yeah.
It's freaking May, brother. I mean, we're officially a month away from the first day of summer.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope you're enjoying your springtime right now. As look, it's Florida. You know, it is what it is.
We don't
get 25 degrees very often.
Right.
So this is the trade-off.
The coaches probably appreciate it. Get these guys used to this. It's
God
not like it's
going to
be any cooler in July when they're back out here for camp.
I saw somebody once, there was one of these, you know, these books, like, you know, remember the Book of Questions? You ever hear of the Book of Questions? Just odd questions that make you think about different things. And there was a question, it might have been in that or something similar to that. It said, which of these is the most important invention? And it was like air conditioning, refrigeration, computers, and something else. And, you know, people nowadays, what would people do without computers? But
right.
What would I do without air conditioning? You could get by without it, I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't want to find out.
I was thinking, with the way that we have to mass produce food, I don't know what we'd do without refrigeration.
Right, without refrigeration, right? And although it isn't that long in the big scope of things,
no.
That, you know, ice trucks were very popular entities.
Well, sure, and the population
around.
Also went boom.
This is true.
Since we
this
got the ice trucks.
Because everyone's like, hey, we can stay indoors, we can procreate and eat nice, cool food.
That's
it's fantastic.
Right.
Everything's going to work out. So it was ironic a little bit as Emmanuel selected that particular open for, you know, I don't think for any particular reason.
Sure.
Right? You know, we just kind of rotate through some of the highlight opens that we have. And that was Cecil Shorts and Justin Blackman.
Yeah.
Right? And for a couple of reasons, our question of the day presented by Gravely Zero Turn Mowers, an American workhorse since 1916, is which Jaguar, who tops your list of Jaguars that outperformed expectations? In other words, turned out to be way better than you ever thought they would. Cecil Shorts could be somebody's answer to that
sure.
question. Justin Blackman could be the answer to tomorrow's question, ooh. Which is going to be the other side of the coin. But the more ironic thing, as we're talking to Jeff Prosser on Crosstalk there, it really did strike me that the things I remember we talked about yesterday, LaRon Robinson's birthday, it was right here 50 yards away
yep.
where he got that concussion, and it's so vivid. I remember Jerry Porter with the hamstring. Like I believe it was Hack and I standing three fields away right next to each other watching Jerry Porter go down like he was, you know, the proverbial shot in the back of the leg
mm-hmm.
kind of deal. And who knows, maybe it would have been a different story if he could have been healthy to start off his Jaguar career and whatever. But those things stand out to me more with a handful of exceptions, right? Cecil Shorts, remember the day Cecil Shorts looked like he was
oh,
going to
sure.
catch 150 balls?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
whatever year that was when he came in. And I think if you wanted the Jags to have success, you were so kind of desperate to squint and see in your mind's eye Cecil Shorts being a true NFL number one wide receiver.
Right.
Yeah, which obviously didn't come to pass. But he had a day where I swear if the entire team got 40 pass targets, he got 25 of them.
Well, and I think it is interesting talking about the Cecil Shorts thing, too. Cecil was around here at a time when, obviously, Gene was still here making the personnel decisions.
Oh,
where,
yes, he was.
Look, honestly, the front office was handcuffed in what they could and couldn't do financially. They just were. Here in Jacksonville, with Wayne Weaver in the later years of his ownership, there were restrictions on what they could and could not do financially to go get players. And if you look at, even as much as we have heard fans complain about the wide receiver group here in Jacksonville this year, right? Think about what they used to put out there. Seriously, think about what they used to put out there year to year, where you were waiting on a fourth-round pick out of Mount Union to come around and be the guy, right? Like, there was an expectation heaped upon that guy basically going into his second year that he's going to be the man for this football team going forward, develop into a one. How often do we talk about Cecil Shorts developing into a one? For this Jaguars team, Cecil
you had
was,
to. You had
was
nothing
a,
else.
Was a decent NFL player, and we all love Cecil, but he was never going to be that. He was never going to be that. Now, at least, there is the opportunity for a guy like Dede Westbrook. He is a special athlete.
He is a Biletnikoff Award
right,
winner.
He is a special athlete. Marquise Lee is a Biletnikoff
yes,
Award winner, right? Like, he is a special athlete. Now, we'll see what it looks like for him coming back off an injury. You have a guy like DJ Chark. Again, the athleticism at the position year to year right now for the Jags in the last 4 to 5 years compared to what they dealt with basically for that decade post-Jimmy, it's remarkable how much better they are at the position. Doesn't mean they couldn't be better than they already are, but it is remarkable how much better they are than they were for about a decade.
No there. Question about it, Tony. I hesitate to even bring it up, but I'm not that superstitious, but you saw what happened yesterday in Washington with Reuben Foster,
sure.
right? And
People play football. People get hurt.
People are going to get hurt, and that you know that's exactly right. I'm watching NFL Live yesterday afternoon, and that's Lewis Riddick. Give the man a GM job already, but he was saying basically the same thing. He's like, look. You can't avoid this. I mean, what more? He's going to be running around somewhere at some point preparing himself for the season. It was a non-contact situation. You're going to be doing agility drills. You're going to be working. You see some of these performance workout places. And I'm not saying they don't take precautions, but the things they have these guys do put a lot of stress on the body. So at any given point, you can have that happen. Of course, what happened to him is he's believed to have suffered a torn ACL out for the year. Just obviously, look, totally in error yesterday when I said Nick Foles throwing the football is the number one thing to see. The number one thing to see is nothing on that kind of front with the injuries.
No injuries. Nothing even close to that. Look, the team has to deal with whatever the fallout is. Telvin Smith not being around here, that's the only fallout from that kind of thing I want to see.
Absolutely.
For the football team.
So I do want to see Nick Foles throw a pretty spiral, though.
Sure.
I absolutely do.
Oh, there's a bunch I want to see. I don't know how much of we're going to over the course of OTAs, but it's.
Oh, we're going to see Nick Foles throw the football.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. We'll see some of that.
I want to see who they deign to throw out there in the first linebacker combination.
Sure.
You know, now whether or not. We're allowed to say that. I'm going to be a little cautious.
I'm
going to be a little bit cautious about that.
Until Doug does it.
You know, and once Doug Marrone says it, I think Doug is being smart. Doug can say whatever he wants before practice because nothing has happened, and this is the one time he's going to speak today, and that's coming up here in about 5 minutes. The throng of media gathered, like I said, about 50 yards away from us right here. 1010 XL rolling deep as usual with that crew. Mike DiRocco, by the way, part of that 1010 XL on ESPN crew, will be with us tomorrow in studio because we'll be out here on Thursday and Friday, and
DiRocco,
like the rest of the media, will be otherwise occupied. So we've got a lot to talk about today. The question of the day, again, presented by Gravely Zero Turn Mowers, an American workhorse since 1916, is which Jaguar player tops your list of guys that outperformed expectations that you thought, hey, he might be okay, and he turned out, wow, this guy turned out to be really, really good. I have a guy or two in mind. We'll discuss those at various points throughout the show, talking NFL and, of course, mostly Jaguar football with you for the next couple of hours. Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith out here. So hop on board. You know the ways to do it on Twitter. You can do it at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, of course, you can weigh in. 641-1010 works for the phone lines or the text line, which is driven by Duval Ford. Got ET back at World Headquarters. Mike Dempsey and Fat Tony field side at the Dream Finders Homes Practice Complex, getting ready for the first Jaguar OTA this week, and we'll be out here all week and next week as well on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I think we got a power play, Tony. I think we're redefining Marrone time right now. And there may be a power play in the building. Coughlin time, as we all know, means 5 minutes earlier than the posted time,
at
the minimum. He'll lock the door 5 minutes prior to the posted time of whatever. If you're not there, which is, honestly, let's just call it what it is. Ridiculous, okay? It's 3 minutes late for the start of the press conference today. So I think Doug Marrone may be saying, hey, I march to the beat of my own drummer, pal. we'll see. He's probably just doing something actually important with the team out there. If anything, keep the media waiting as opposed to your players.
Like maybe talking
move.
To his team here on the
something
opening
like
day
that.
Of OTAs.
Like going over what we're going to do on the field to actually make us a better football team in 2019. You're not going to miss anything if Doug Marrone starts 3 minutes from now or 3 hours from now, quite frankly. And I do enjoy, I hope all the media members out there are enjoying the fact that they don't have a tent right now as they stand around the podium waiting for Doug Marrone to arrive. Tony, I'm going to try to cut myself off. I'm going on vacation in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And you, as always, will handle the show with great skill and dexterity. Mm. And so what I'm trying to do is draw the line on how many fantasy drafts I can get started.
That you want to be involved in you're on vacation?
I don't want to be involved in any on vacation this year, if I can possibly help it. So the question is, how long will some of these slow drafts take? And now I'm up to 10. I was at 8 yesterday. I'm at 10 right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to draw the line at 10. What do you give my odds of success
at
drawing a line?
Tomorrow you're going to come in and be in two more. I mean, it's going to happen.
I have a feeling you're right, all right? And I'm not really particularly happy about it, but I have a feeling you're right.
Maybe. I mean, you're sitting there on the clock right now. I think because we're on the air.
In 10 leagues.
Right, because we're on the air right now and you're four picks away, you feel pretty good about maybe getting through the show without having to worry about it.
I feel confident, yes.
But when you get home and you hit one of those lulls, you're just going to sign up for another draft.
Right, when I'm at home and I'm like, really? I got to wait like 2 hours before I can pick again? And, you know,
yeah.
And the problem is when, like, I sign up for a new draft like I did – and it started just like an hour ago, and I find out I have like the sixth pick, and you know you're at the mercy of all these mm-hmm. other selectors, and I'm just sitting here twiddling my thumbs here in the off season. But I am starting to get a pretty good idea of value.
Sure,
Leonard Fournette, mid to late third round is where he's coming off the board at the moment. Who knows? Maybe that'll climb. There he is, ladies and gentlemen, the head coach of your 2019. Jacksonville Jaguars, Doug Marrone strolling out to the podium for the first time to open up OTAs today. And, heck, we'll see the players coming through here in about 20 minutes, probably
a little bit
less than that. They'll be out on the field stretching, getting underway as far as all that stuff goes. Question of the day out there by Gravely Zero Turn Mowers, an American workhorse since 1916. You know anything? What's your favorite thing that's been around since at least 1916? Other than Gravely.
Baseball?
Baseball. I'm 100% with you. The Yankees would be my answer to that. Baseball. Like my grandmother, until she passed, I would have gone with that. She was like one of my grandmothers was born in 1899. That makes me sound really old.
Oh, yeah.
Right? 1899. She'd be 120 this year.
Man.
My other grandmother was born in 1909. She was the spring chicken of the bunch. So, nevertheless, rest in peace to both of those lovely ladies. So, all right. Question of the day, presented by Gravely, is who is the guy that exceeded your expectations? Who are some of the guys when I posed that question to you? Like you thought, this guy, whatever. You maybe didn't even think that much about them at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they turned out to be, wow, this guy really turned out to have quite a career here in Jacksonville. Who kind of pops in your mind as far as that goes?
Allen Hurns.
Hurns is a good one.
Because I can remember, even at this time of year, I can remember being out at the rookie minicamp, right? When the week after they had drafted guys and Hurns was here as an undrafted guy. And I can remember being out of that practice, and I knew the name Allen Hurns because he played in Miami. So I was aware of the name, and I was aware that he had a good career down there with the
All-time
Hurricanes.
All-time leading receiver, yeah.
And so I'm watching practice, and we're watching Blake throw butterflies through that day at practice that day. But there was the undrafted kid who just kept making plays. Like, even in his first practice out here, just kept making plays. Hurns made play after play after play. And then we got out here for OTAs, and Hurns kept making plays. And then you got into training camp and into the preseason, and it's like, Allen Hurns is going to have a pretty big role on this football team pretty early.
And you do start – I think it's natural to start thinking, because we've seen it happen with some guys, like, well, this is going to stop at some point, right?
I mean, he's an undrafted guy. There's got to be a reason he's undrafted, right? Like, there's got to be a reason. And I could remember the first preseason game when he made that catch on kind of that in-cutting pass, diving down to the ground, going to get it, and it was like, oh, Allen Hurns is going to be a player. For this football team this year, and he was. For his time here in Jacksonville, Allen Hurns, as an undrafted guy, was a really, really good football player.
Look, I hope that we can see that with Keelan Cole, kind of how that bounce back and have a much longer period with the Jaguars.
Because be nice.
Now, you know, Hurns has been a guy now, he's tough, but he's been hurt. He's kind of, I don't want to say journeyman because he's only on his second team, but, you know, he's just kind of that vet that's hanging on a little bit. Right,
and
now.
What Hurns had when he got here, and he still has, is the ability to run a route. Like, he is as good as anybody in the league at that. And, like, even if you go, if you went to NFL.com right now and you just tried to look up, like, the best routes of the year, and they'll have some, you know, cuts put together of the best routes of the year, I guarantee you Allen Hurns is on there at least once. Guarantee you that he turned somebody around at some point this year just running a route. That's what he had when he got here. I think it's what got him on the field early on. I think it's what's going to keep him on the field as long as he's going to play in the NFL is he can do that. Like, he's got really good feet. And we'll see what he looks like coming back from the injury, but certainly as an undrafted guy coming in and having an impact his rookie year, one of the guys that exceeded expectations for me.
Let me just clear up in case you had Jacquez Khalil in the pool as who would be the first Jaguar player on the field for OTAs. when you're the rook, that's not a bad look for you right there. He is the first and only one out here to this point in time. And unfortunately, his coach is preoccupied right now with a bunch of media members over there. So I'd be out there if I was Khalil and doing some calisthenics, something right there, just to maybe catch my coach's eye that, hey, I'm ready to go. I'm itching to get out
here. I bet
you
got some serious nerves.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you know, like,
this is it. I mean, it's one thing to have a rookie minicamp, and you're all kind of in the same boat together, you know, and it's another to, all right, these are the big boys for the most part.
These are the big boys, and this is my life.
Right, like, right. This is another step in the progression. It's getting serious now. This is, it's a guy like that, you know, it's a long shot to make
right.
the team.
Right, all the 2 days in high school, two
Everything.
Days in college.
And here I am.
Like, all that, and here you are. You're playing NFL football. You know, like, this is as big time as it gets. Yeah, I bet the nerves are legit for these guys.
No question about it. Jag's starting to trickle out right now as we'll get things underway out here on the practice field very shortly. Bunchy Stallings, if you had the place position. If you were going with the Quinella, Bunchy Stallings is number two out there. Another rookie. And, again, a good look. If you're a rook, be eager. Be out there. I heard Leon Searcy talking about this yesterday, that you have some veterans that'll tell you, rook, easy. All right, you're not going to make the team in OTAs.
Sure.
Screw that. Right, you want to go out there and impress. If you want to sit back and coast because you're a guy who's a multi-time Pro Bowler or whatever the case, you do your thing. But I'm going to go out here 110 miles an hour if I possibly can. Here comes the quarterback group right now. They come out in a quartet, Tony, just to show unity, fresh out of the quarterback room in their bright red jerseys, including Nick Foles and Gardner Minshew. Out there, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes as those guys heading out. It was interesting, too, talking about the rookies and how hard they go out here. And I heard Tony Boselli this week as well on with the boys on the drill, and Tony was asked about that and, you know, being around the young guys when they're out here for this time of year. And he said, yeah, it bugged me that they were going as hard as they were going, but I never said a word to them. Like, it was like, I understood why.
They weren't all the second overall pick in
right.
the draft.
Like, I understood why they're going the way that they're going. There's a good reason for it, right? Like, we're professional football players out here. We're competing, and I want to see these guys compete. So, yeah, it was kind of interesting hearing that side of it, too. And then hearing Leon be like, he was telling him, he's like, sit down, Rook. Like, slow it down a
right.
little bit.
Like, it's a different perspective. But, and he said now, you know, you got to admit, like, just – stand out. Do your thing.
Do your thing, man.
Most of that is the vets that don't want to have to match your intensity in May. And you understand that if you've been around and you made a couple of Pro Bowls, whatever the case, you're a pretty entrenched starter. You're trying to build yourself up. You're in a different position. You're
sure.
trying to build yourself up to the beginning of the year. Dontavius Russell out here now, among others. So they're all starting to filter out now, and I'm just trying to figure out everyone who's been out to the practice facility, the Dreamfinders Homes practice complex out here outside TIAA Bank Field, that you got the three field setup, and as you walk in, you've got the bleachers on this end. You don't have the temporary bleachers on, what is that? This is the west side, so that's the north end of the stadium over there.
Sure.
Yes, that's north. I'm very directionally challenged. Joe Cowart would have that in a second. He seems to have that kind of ability. But I have a feeling, just a feeling, they're going to start things off on the far west field. How do you feel about those odds right
we'll
now?
We'll see. They got the cone set up over here on the near field for something.
Did you bring your binoculars? They do have the cone set up.
I'm guessing that's for stretching.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. Like, you got to even teach them the proper spacing. For the stretching
drills.
Yeah,
when you got them all out here
to
now.
Begin things, right? This is the Jaguar way to stretch, right? There's Andrew Norwell, so starting to see some of the starting guys trickle out here. Now, still about 15 minutes away from the official start of practice. Leonard Fournette and crew rolling on out right now. So it's just good to see the guys in their uniform. There he is. Hop on board, Leonard. We got all the time for you that you like right there. Sit down. Say hello to your fan base out there. Pop that headset on, man.
How y'all doing out there?
We're good. How are you doing, man? You look strong. You look fit. How you feeling?
I'm good, man. Get ready for practice. You know, I come get a little shade because it's the last time I see this for these next 2 hours. So,
see, we got called soft because we went to the tent.
Did.
You came straight to the tent, and you're just smart is what you are.
I'm working smarter, not harder. That's all.
Tell us about Colorado, man. How was your off-season training out there?
It was cool, man. I went out there just try to restart everything I had going on. Fresh start, come back out here, you know, meeting guys like Nick, who's a great leader, man. I mean, he knows everything about football in and outside. And just understanding and developing the game from him, from his point of view as a quarterback.
You guys clicking pretty well right off the bat.
Yeah, it's cool. I had one to wear past cleats, but he was 16, so
you can stuff some newspaper in the end.
Nah, it ain't worth it. Not at all. It ain't worth it.
So for you, what's the focus this offseason? What's the mindset as you got months to go still?
Just really just development. You know, we got new guys. We have a new running back in our room. This mindset of just teaching them the game. You know, this my whole thing coming is being a better leader. You know, last year was a tough season for us as a whole. And I think everybody, it kind of opened up our eyes. You know, we got the talent, got the ability and everything. But just coming together as a whole and making everything look right, you know. So I feel like we're ready. You know, this is only the first week of OTAs. We have a long way to go. Long way to go. So I think we'll be all right.
What do you feel like the big lessons or takeaways for you are getting ready for year three through your first 2 years?
Just knowing, you know, as far as, like, body-wise, what's right for your body, you know, what to eat, what's not to eat, you know, working hard, more preparation. I think it's just taking care of your body overall. Like, Khalil's been in the league 11, 12 years, and just got some very important point of views from him and what he does, take care of his body. So I'm just taking it from the greats.
I'm sure it didn't hurt your feelings to see a big offensive lineman get taken pretty high in the draft
this year. Nah. The rookie, he moves kind of good, you know, so – I told him he got to get ready to play against Khalil and Yannick. I ain't gonna say Yannick. I'm sorry. His name is Unique. Y'all get his name right now.
Unique.
Get his name right. So it's gonna be interesting. You know, guys like him, Brian. What's up? You ready, bro? Hey, look there. He's scared of me.
They want no part of you.
Yeah. He's scared of me. They scared to look at me.
Well, look. You sound like you're ready. Like you said, it's a long way to go, man. Just be ready in September, and hopefully we'll see you for all 16. And I know that's a big goal for you and for everybody on this team. You know?
Yes, sir. Appreciate that.
It's a man's game out there.
Thank you for having it.
Thanks, Leonard. Right. We appreciate it.
We're going to the Super Bowl, and we're going to win
it. Enjoy the shade anytime you like. Number 27, you can stop by anytime. That was nice, Leonard Fournette, just impromptu sitting down for a couple minutes. Look, if you're a Jaguar fan, I hope you – hope for the absolute best, right? That, like you said, it's got to be a clean slate for him. He's learned. He hopefully matured. Want to be a leader. Speaking of being a leader, who's here now? Unique Ngakoue, number 91. He's
there
back.
He is with Calais. There's the mayor.
Leading the charge out here for the defensive line. And big smile on Calais' face, which goes almost without saying all the time.
Yeah, you got to love football if you're going to do it for a dozen years.
Bro, and you know what?
This is a grind.
That's a good point, though, Leonard Fournette made about Juwan Taylor. Look, you're going to be going up against Calais Campbell and Unique, as he calls him, Unique Ngakoue, and guys like Taven Bryan, Marcel Darius in practice. We've talked about this defensive line being potentially one of the best, maybe the best in the National Football League if it all comes together for them. And no better test if you're coming in as a highly drafted rookie who's a lot is going to be expected of going forward. Doug Marrone looks like he's getting ready to wrap up his comments over there. The majority of the Jaguars out here on the practice field getting ready to stretch, and they're early, Tone, still 10 minutes early, so they're meeting the Coughlin time standard, even if the head coach may have showed up a couple minutes late to his own press conference. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, we're live at Jaguar OTAs getting ready to get things underway on this Tuesday morning. When Doug Marrone wraps up, JP Shadrick is going to swing by, let us know what he had to say, and we'll get a little peek at these guys on the field for the first time in 2019 as a collective group. Mike Dempsey and Fat Tony here with you just outside TIAA Bank Field at the Dreamfinders Homes Practice Complex. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The rookie, he moves kind of good, you know, so I told him he got to get ready to play against Khalil and Jan.
Yeah, the rookie. Right, Leonard Fournette, he's still a very young guy, right? But I have a feeling he's not going to call Juwan Taylor by his name all year long. The shade sucks him in. See Jeff Prosser? The tent worked.
He really, really, really wanted to play rock, paper, scissors with Brandon Linder. And Linder just would not give
He wouldn't even acknowledge it.
Yeah.
No. J.P. Shadrick here. You're a big rock, paper, scissors guy yourself?
Like in third grade, sure. Okay.
Did you mix in the dynamite? Because that's like – I think that's a relatively new development in rock, paper, scissors.
Yes, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, dynamite. Have you heard of dynamite?
Yeah, I've heard of the dynamite. My niece broke out like a gun the last time I played. She just shot at me, and I was like – so the next time we went through, I put up a shield. She didn't know what to do.
Oh, that's pretty clever.
About the times,
pretty
I guess.
Pretty clever right there. How you doing, J.P. Shatter?
Great. What's up, guys? Hey, here we are.
Hey.
Practice is here. The sun is out. It's bright sunshine. It's hot today. This is fun, right? I mean, you know – John Osier always has a little limit to this because he can't get fired up at OTAs too much. He can't. Well, I'm excited to get just something.
It's better than sitting inside.
Right, in a windowless office in there. I mean, you get out here, watch them run around.
Look.
First chance to see the quarterbacks. First chance to see the draft picks run around. That's cool.
To your right or left right now, there's an NFL team practicing.
Yes.
That's an NFL team. Like, this is big time, guys.
Correct.
Like, we have the opportunity to be out here and watch that happening right now. Look, I get it. It's install. It's a lot about just staying healthy. It's about getting guys acquainted with what you want to do, getting them comfortable with whatever the new process is going to be for a lot of these young players. But still, this is NFL football being played.
Yes, and there are 10 of these, three mini-camp practices, so and then they're done for 5 weeks.
Right.
So
then training camp will be here, and the season will be upon us,
and
we'll all be going, where did summer go?
Yes.
Where did vacation go? Now, Doug Marrone spoke just a short time ago, and although he didn't refer to them as the three C's, what were the C's that he was focusing on?
This is what he looks for out of OTAs in this part, especially on a day like today. It's conditioning. Are guys ready to go? They're not going to go full speed today, the first day out here in this heat and all this. So they'll work their way into conditioned, as this OTA period goes along. Communication, talking between guys, in and out of the huddle, at the line, things like that. Who talks to who? When do they talk? That all kind of starts, or has already started, but certainly when you get out on the field in 11-on-11 situations for the first time, as they will today, that'll be key. And chemistry among the team. So that's a number of things, but includes creating standards for themselves as a team, and that happens inside the locker room. The example he gave was when Nick Foles came in here, and he's been in contact with pretty much everybody. He knows where everybody is working out. He knows where everybody is going to be, and for the most part. And that starts with that kind of idea, getting in that locker room, becoming a cohesive unit. It's 90 guys right now. It's tough to do, but that's where it starts, and those are the three things in the next 3-4 weeks that he'd really like to get done here.
Look, Nick Foles brings a Super Bowl ring and great recent playoff experience. There's no question about it, and that's important for the Jaguars to have that elevate the position, but it's important for Nick Foles too, right?
Huge,
I mean, this is, although, I mean, a lot of guaranteed money in that contract. He's not going to have any problems, finding his next meal at any point in the rest of his life, but in terms of his career, if he is going to have that second half of the career where he is like an 8-year starter, this is it. This is his shot. He's got to get this done. So he is taking advantage, obviously, the opportunities and the things he's learned in his first 8 or so years in the National Football League.
It's amazing to think about, right? Because he was a starter for most of the season in St. Louis that year. Didn't finish the full season, though. And then was the backup a couple years after that in Philly. How many times do you get an opportunity after being a backup for a number of years? Basically, you've been relegated to a career backup almost to become a starter somewhere else and get free agent money. It never happens like that. It rarely happens like that. This is just a unique opportunity for him, doing all the Super Bowl stuff and then having that run last year too. He's got to prove it now, too. I mean, this is not – you don't just show up in training camp now. I mean, you've got to come build that team around you. That's why you're here, is to help this team move ahead. Well, you're the big piece of this team. You have to be here at this moment to do it.
There's a big narrative out there that he can't succeed outside of Philadelphia because he's never done it, right? I mean, and that's the narrative. But that is – people are watching. I'm not talking about necessarily Jaguar fans. I'm just talking about the national media and fan perspective from – the NFL, then Nick Foles is kind of a product of the system.
They'll be better than they were with Blake, but how much better?
Right.
Like, that's the kind of national
perspective. Well, guess what, though? The system and somewhat's coming here too.
To some degree, it is, absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's kind of how that works with DeFilippo here. They're not going to have the full Philly offense.
And he's
been
in different systems. I mean, he thrived under Chip Kelly up there, had one of the most remarkable statistical seasons that you'll ever see with 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
But I think that's a good point, too, because he's had to change it so many times over his career, learning a new system and being part of a new system. That's going to be the least of his worries.
I think. As Doug Marrone said, you prefer your quarterback to be ahead of everybody else, right? If there's a new offense coming on board, that's the guy that it's most important that has the comfort level, and you would expect some degree of comfort. Let me interject. We had those 3 C's. I'd like to add a 4th.
Oh.
Cutting weight. Okay, because we looked at you with the long sleeve shirt.
Yes.
Then you threw on the long sleeve hoodie on top of that. You're trying to go get, you know, you're trying to make weight for your match tonight.
I'm taking Fury next. I got Fury. Tyson Fury's next on my list. I don't want any Wilder. I don't want any.
No, nobody does.
I can't deal with that right now.
Although, would you rather just take the one punch knockout, or would you rather have them just beat you up for 8-9 rounds?
Just the one punch, get paid and go.
You know what? I mean, I'm not really sure what's the smarter way to go. By the way, Deontay,
I don't think I want a heavyweight fighter ever punching me.
Deontay Wilder, as the years have gone by, we see him every year at the Super Bowl on Radio Row. He always shows up. The amount of jewelry has grown exponentially by the years.
Oh, sure.
Right? I mean, he is fully blinged out on all occasions. JP, no D.D. Westbrook today. But,
right. He's coming tomorrow. Yeah. Doug Marrone said he's going to be around tomorrow. They're in communication. No big deal. Jalen Ramsey, of course, is not here. He's in Nashville. That's still in communication.
It is voluntary, after
voluntary
all,
work.
In the end.
Telvin Smith not here. But Doug said he's not going to address that every day. That is what it is. They're moving forward. No big deal.
To your knowledge, still up to this point, has Telvin had any communication officially with the team? I'm not talking about his teammates. I'm talking about coaching staff management.
Not that I know of.
Neither.
I have not heard of
like,
that.
That doesn't mean it hasn't happened, but nobody that I'm aware
well,
of.
Well, Doug said there's been no contact today.
He said that today.
He confirmed that.
Right.
That's what it is. Now, I would say, just to change the subject, they just finished stretching. I'd be exhausted already after the stretch.
Why do you think we have a tent? Okay, we can't sit for 2 hours. Yeah. And make it through. So, we're happy about that. Unique Ngakoue's here, or as Leonard Fournette referred to him as, he says you got to call him Unique Ngakoue. But I do think that's a nice kind of sign. It's not like we ever questioned his work ethic or anything like that.
You better not.
He went away for a few days and I don't think the majority overreacted to it, but some people, the feedback I got, a few people, you know, really took a heel turn on him.
Well, remember the timing of this, right? So draft pick happens. Josh Allen comes in. The next day, there was the tweets and the Instagram stuff about salary numbers and sack numbers and stuff like that he put out. And then he wasn't an offseason program starting really at that point. So everybody kind of put that together as, what are you doing? You're holding out, this and that. Well, I don't know if it was ever like that. We'll talk to him this afternoon. He's going to speak at the podium. And Doug Marrone said today that he's not really going to go into the whole – once the contract stuff happens, that's on Dave and Tom, that Doug wasn't really going to go that far. But there's always been communication, at least with Doug Marrone and Unique Ngakoue.
That's
and
really like, all the coaches
and that's it.
Want and care about.
Just let me know where you are. It's voluntary.
Basic respect.
You know, and it's a boss and a player relationship. That's really a boss-employee relationship.
And these employees have rights under,
again,
I'm not trying to make too big of a deal out of it. I mean, he's here today, that's a really good thing,
I think.
And
he's going to be a great teammate. He always has been, and he's a great player, and he has a fantastic work ethic, and he loves the game of football. I don't think anybody questions that, and if you do, you're nuts.
How good do you think this defense can be? Certainly some losses. Let's assume Telvin's not going to play this year.
Yeah.
They'd already moved on from Barry Church. Like, I hear people worrying about the strong safety spot.
Well,
they
got
made
rid
their
of
choice
him, like,
last year.
Week 15, they
right.
Whacked him, right?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They may moved on from him during the season.
Yeah.
Tashaun Gibson, I think, will be missed to some degree.
I agree
you know, we'll find out. But I think they've got – the best corner trio, and if not the best, one of the very best corner trios, potentially the best front four when you consider all the guys they can rotate in. A hell of a prospective stud in Josh Allen coming on board. We focus a lot of times on the positive, but there are some holes to fill. So compared to what we've seen 17 and 18, how do you think the 19 defense will look?
Big question marks for me are obviously that weak side linebacker spot. Who goes there? Can the draft pick come in and play right away? Can he move from Morgan State to the NFL? Is that a question? Or do they have to move other guys around? The other, like you said, the safety spot. I mean, yeah, you have your starters, but you have some questions there. You got Ronnie Harrison, who they love. Obviously, they loved last year. They think he's going to take another step this year. And then Jared Wilson, a guy who's been around here for a few years as a backup, but is he ready to start at that free spot? And then after that.
And what do they have behind
him? That's the real question. Right. If somebody goes down, it's not as deep as some of these other positions on the defensive side of the ball. You got guys who've been around for a year or two, but not ready to jump in and start right away.
Well, last year they could go to Ronnie Harrison and Jared Wilson,
yes,
who they're comfortable with starting this
exactly.
year.
That's the point. So that's a real concern. Can some of these guys develop and get them more comfortable with the depth there? At linebacker spot, man, is Quincy going to be ready to go? I know Miles the other day said, I'm a Mike linebacker. I'm not playing anything.
He also said that's him speaking.
Yes.
You know, so
that could – they could – who knows at some point. Is the free agent going to be ready by training camp from Green Bay to play?
Jake Ryan.
We just don't know. There's going to be some of those questions on the defensive side. Is Josh Allen going to be limited at the start to only pass rushing, or is he going to be quick enough to pick up other things? You know, and that's you don't want to overload a rookie's plate, even as smart and as talented as he is. But once he can prove that he can do that well, which I'm sure he can, how much more can you put on his plate as first year?
Guy dropped in coverage 40% of the time.
I know.
Last year. You know what I mean? Like, I don't – to me, this is not a major concern. I'm not the coaching staff. I don't need to worry about it to that degree, but – I mean, pass rush, nowhere
sure.
to line up and go get them.
Sure. Right. Well, I think it's, you know, when you're talking about the questions on defense, we know what the answers are to a lot of spots. Like, we know what their answer is at safety. We know who's playing safety for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We don't know what the starting three linebackers
That's
are.
Right.
You know, like on opening day against Kansas City, when they have three linebackers on the field for the first time, who those three are right now, I think we can guess at what we think it might be at this point, but we really don't know. And I'm not sure the team knows at this point either, and that's okay. But, yeah, Quincy, I am dying to see what it looks like for him on an NFL field.
Well, I mean, he's a third-round pick.
Yeah.
Go play, right? I mean, that's you know, if you're a first, second, third-round pick, you're supposed to somewhat
contribute. They said he had starter traits, right? They took him because he was the last linebacker on their board.
But you do you recognize when you're a late third-round pick from a small school that, you know, you might not be expecting all that immediately, and – you know, hopefully he can, like you said, surprise us a little bit. So we'll be watching that. We'll be watching. I just want to see Nick Foles throw some beautiful on-target spirals.
Oh, spiral. Here we go.
The spiral returns to Jacksonville football. Come on.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That would be something. First time since Blaine,
Think about that, right? I mean, he would throw a pretty ball.
He
now.
Would. There's no doubt out here.
I hope Nick Foles, 5, 6, 7 years down the line, makes us question whether he's the greatest quarterback in team history.
Sure.
You know what? Then he's got the opportunity out there in front of him. We'll see how it goes. J.P. Shadrick, of course, a host of the pre and post and halftime shows on Jaguar Game Day.
That's me.
You're doing Jaguar Thursdays.
Yeah, we got it's Jaguars Happy Hour.
Happy hour.
4 o'clock on the AM signal and also on Jaguars.com and all the social media pages. And that's coming up every Thursday in the off season, or most Thursdays
sure.
in the off season when we all aren't gallivanting somewhere else. And that's us. We got on Tuesday mornings, it's Jaguars Drive Time. Brian Sexton, Ashton Sullivan, John Osier. And we'll have coverage throughout OTAs each and every day, press conferences, and all the rest.
And on Twitter, at J.P. Shadrick.
That's me.
Spelled just like it sounds, baby. All right, J.P., good to see you, brother.
Thanks,
appreciate
guys.
It. Good luck making cruiser weight, let's see if you can get down there in time. You got a couple of weeks to sweat it off, I have a feeling. All right, we'll come back. This Dayton football, the Roland Reese roll around the National Football League. Hayes Carline's going to pop in a little bit later. We'll hear a little bit from Doug Marrone. Thanks again to J.P. Shadrick for stopping by, and Leonard Fournette as well. Stopping by right before practice. Appreciate him popping into the tent. And, you know, if you haven't heard that, or if you missed it, or you want to hear it again, what he had to say, it's all going to be posted up on 1010XL.com in the on-demand section very, very soon. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, live at Jaguar OTAs on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Pete Vanaszak.
Oh, Pete.
Born on this date 75 years ago, 13 seasons in the NFL, all with the Raiders. How about this? Pete Vanaszak, when he was 31 years old in 1975, had 187 yards rushing. How many touchdowns do you think he ran for that year? 187 yards rushing.
I'll go 7.
How about 16? 16 for Banaszak on 187 yards rushing, led
short
the National Football
specialist.
League. He was crushing it from the one-yard line this year. A longtime member, of course, of the Jacksonville Jaguar radio broadcast crew. All of us send out our best wishes for a happy birthday to Pete Banaszak. Happy birthday as well to Ricky Williams. Wonder how he's going to celebrate today. Tony, the fifth overall pick in the 1999 NFL draft, he made Mike Ditka, or he got Mike Ditka to put on a dress. Was he put on the dress? Who put on the dress?
The wedding dress.
The wedding dress. It was Ricky who put on the dress? Or
Ditka? I think Ricky had the dress
Ricky
on.
Ricky put on the dress,
guns
right?
Were out.
Right. And Ditka posed with him like they just got married because he traded the entire draft for the rights of Ricky Williams, who would go on to be a five-time 1,000-plus-yard rusher. Of course, that considering he retired in 2004, came back and played in 2005, was suspended for all of 2006 due to a violation of the substance abuse policy, and would still go on to have one of those 1,000-yard years a couple of seasons later with Miami. He led the league in 2002 with 1,853 yards on the ground, the only Pro Bowl season of Ricky Williams' career. And happy 40th birthday to former Jaguar quarterback Quinn Gray. He was with the club from 2005 to 2007, 2-2 in his four starts as a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Has gone on to become a high school coach. I was looking at Wiki. Do you know where he is right now, where he's coaching?
I do not. No.
Wiki said Tallahassee Lincoln, but okay. I'm not as well-versed on the high school scene. I thought Gibby was going to be producing the program today. I meant to ask him earlier, but regardless, wherever Quinn Gray is, we wish him a happy 40th birthday, and that's what we have for you on this date in football history.
Now, let's roll around the NFL with Roland Reich Plumbing, where quality and experience count.
Teams are getting back on the field just like the Jaguars today across the entire league, and when there are football activities, there are inevitably going to be injuries despite the lack of contact during these practices this time of year. Washington linebacker Reuben Foster tore his ACL on the team's third snap of their first OTA session yesterday. Foster will be seeing a specialist to see if the damage is beyond just the ACL and his knee, but he will miss the entire 2019 NFL season. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and defensive tackle Gerald McCoy have agreed to mutually part ways. As first reported by the Tampa Bay Times, McCoy has been a no-show for the team's offseason thus far. For the first time in his career, he was set to make $13 million this season. He had already been singled out by new head coach Bruce Arians before the NFL draft as a player that needed to step it up this year. There were reports that the team was trying to trade the 2010 third overall selection. McCoy was selected to the Pro Bowl in six consecutive seasons from 2011 to 2017, was an All-Pro in 2013, now set to be a free agent. The rape trial of former NFL tight end Kellen Winslow Jr. has begun. Winslow is facing 12 counts in the trial, including the rape of a 54-year-old hitchhiker and a 59-year-old homeless woman. His defense attorneys say they do not deny the sex between the two parties, but have said that it was consensual. Winslow has pleaded not guilty to all counts. While out on a $2 million bail, Winslow was arrested for lewd conduct after he exposed himself to a 77-year-old woman on two occasions at a gym. He has since been jailed without bail.
All right, there you go. Practice has officially started now as Dan Hicken has arrived. Does he kind of do like he does with the drill? He gets to come in like an hour after everybody else?
Without all the screaming, yes.
That's right. I'm kidding. As he's strolling in, talking to Jaguars general manager Dave Caldwell.
Yeah, I'm not sure Caldwell would appreciate the screaming.
No, maybe not. maybe not. But I saw the a lot of the Helmets and Heels crew representing out here. The two Laurens, Rue and Brooks, have arrived. So, as always, 1010XL rolling deep. And I see the ball in the air a little bit, although they are on the close field, but they're kind of on the east edge of it.
Yep.
And so we're kind of a little bit blocked out on seeing everything that's going on. But what are we going to see? You're going to see a bunch of guys running around tossing the football.
Sure.
You know, looks like you're playing in the backyard. Hopefully a little bit more organized than that.
I would expect, yes.
Tom Coughlin, the executive vice president of the Jacksonville Jaguars, rolled in, said, how's it going, coach? He said, I'll tell you after I see what's going on, or something to that effect.
Yep.
You know, so he's out here taking it all in. He's got his big wide-brimmed hat on. And it is just good to be out on the football field, man. I tell you what, coming up, Hayes Carline's going to swing by in about 13 minutes or so. We got a little bit of sound, though, from Doug Marrone, and just weighing in on some of the things that J.P. Shadrick told us he talked about today, but you can hear it from the coach's mouth himself. So let's start in on this. Doug Marrone was asked about, does he have a role to play in the Yannick Ngakoue contract situation?
You know, when it comes down to contracts, I've never, ever been involved. From my standpoint, so everyone knows, if someone will say, hey, do you like this player? Do you want him back? And it's usually yes or no. And then once it goes to the other side, the the contractual stuff, you know, that's something for Dave and Tom. I really stay out of that because it's a tough situation, you know, for a coach to be in.
It's a no-win situation for him, right?
Sure.
Unless he completely backs his player, and which could put him at odds with management. But in the locker room, you don't want to be – you want to be the coach here. I'm the guy you're listening to. You don't want to feel like, oh, man, you didn't have my back. Just, I'm out of it. You know what? I want you here. You know I want you here. That's between your representatives and the management.
When you're in the situation that Doug Marrone is, absolutely. When you're in the situation Bill Belichick is, it's a little bit different, right?
Different
story. Like, because he's the GM and the head coach.
But, you know, Belichick's got so much success built up now, he doesn't care who he pisses off.
Sure.
And nor should he.
But,
really.
Yeah, as the coach, yeah, I'm sure he would like to have Yannick Ngakoue here as long as he's coaching the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, I'm sure that's what Doug Marrone would like.
Huh.
What
else? Let me see. Mid-20s guy with crazy pass rush ability.
Right. What else is he supposed
to say? Potential game
right?
changer, works his ass off all the time.
Yeah.
I want that?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely you
please.
Want that.
I want 53 of that if I can get it at various positions, of
and
course.
And so Jan was not here for a couple of weeks here of the offseason program, but he is back today for the first day of OTAs, a player we're not expecting to see at all in 2019 at this point would be linebacker Telvin Smith. Head coach Doug Marrone was asked about Telvin today as well.
Unless something new comes, I'll obviously announce it to you, but, you know, we respect his decision and what he's been made. It hasn't been communication, but to me, I'm going to accept that. We're here to help him, but obviously, you know, moved on. So I hope, you know, Daly, if you ask me that question, I'm probably just going to move on to the next question.
I don't blame him again. I mean,
no.
he's handled this directly. He said, look, here's where we're at. What more can I tell you? We're here to support him. We're willing to support him. We want to support him. But there's been no communication. You know, people asked, somebody asked the other day on the text line, how do you know there's been no communication? Well, I don't, and I said at the time, I don't know for a fact, but in talking to people throughout the organization that would be in a position to know or might have heard something, nobody felt that there had been any communication. Nobody thought anything had changed. He just said it there for you right there. And I don't know if that's going to change going forward, Tony. If it hasn't changed up until this point, I don't know what's going to, you know,
right.
unless Telvin changes his mind about coming back in 2019, I don't necessarily see why he would take a different approach than what
sure.
he's done up to this point.
Whatever the reasons are for him to have not
don't
communicated
know what those
to this
reasons
point,
are.
Don't
yeah.
know what they are, but I doubt they're changing at any time in the near future if he hasn't been willing to talk to him yet.
All right, we got more coming up, including some from Nick Foles, or not from Nick Foles, but Doug Marrone on Nick Foles and how he's fit in with his teammates here in the early days in his tenure as a Jacksonville Jaguar quarterback, and then some thoughts on the rookies that are incoming as well who get their first opportunity to be out here with the vets in the first Jaguar OTA of the offseason. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you. Lots going on the field. You know, it's compared to most days up until this point, certainly not as nearly intense as it'll be when minicamp rolls around in June and then, of course, training camp and on to the season. But it's another step in the progression. Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith here with you at the Dreamfinders Homes Practice Complex just outside TIAA Bank Field. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
I ain't going to say Yannick. I'm sorry. His name is Unique. Y'all get his name right now.
Unique.
Get his name right. So
that's Leonard Fournette correcting us on the pronunciation of what we thought was Unique.
Unique
Ngakoue. I felt really good about talking to Leonard Fournette for a couple minutes. He popped into the tent until Warren Rue reminded me that he worked out in Wyoming and not Colorado. And I'm like, what obscure state? And Colorado's, I mean, whatever. I've been to Wyoming. It's a beautiful state. There are only like 600,000 people that live in Wyoming.
Yeah.
The entirety of Wyoming.
The reason I remembered Wyoming is because when I lived in Great Falls, Montana, on the drive from Tulsa, making that drive to go live up there for the summer, we stopped in Cheyenne, I think, and remember being like, I'm pretty sure that once we leave this like 5 mile radius and get on the road, if anything happens between now and wherever the next city is, we're going to be in a lot of trouble because there is nothing out there.
Or what's out there is a lot of fences. There are a lot of fences and a lot of cattle area. And there's like, you never see the actual ranch house.
No.
You just see fenced in
grass area. And think, I could see where, like, this is where I could die and nobody would ever know that I was here.
True.
Right?
True story. So if you want to kill somebody, take them to Wyoming. It's a
story. Or get an off-season workout, also go to Wyoming.
You're just back off vacation, huh?
Yes. So it's funny that... I didn't really think of it as that because it was a couple of days in Stillwater. We went back to Oklahoma State baseball reunion. It's the final weekend at Allie P. Reynolds Stadium, which is where my husband and a bunch of our friends played. And it was this kind of last hoorah there before they introduced this brand new $60 million facility. So we did as any good former college athletes and girlfriends of, we partied for two straight days.
There
you go. Then we all paid for it on Sunday on the way home. So
yeah,
it was
so
fun.
So what?
It was fun. So, yeah.
How's Helmets and Heels going?
Helmets and Heels is going. We'll be on tonight. Thank you for that plug. From 6 to 8 on both 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
My second favorite show on this station.
Right behind yours?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
No, it's good.
Who are you talking to?
We will. I'm glad that you got to, in your wizardry ways, get Leonard Fournette to hang out for a little bit. That's really interesting.
It's the magic of the tent.
Absolutely.
Jeff Prosser was mocking us, calling us soft because we have a tent.
And then what happened?
Tent paid off immediately.
Right. We're going to come back out here on Thursday. They're going to have us over by the building.
Right. Like, you talk to who? No. Hey, look, practice hadn't started yet.
No, I love it. I love it.
Who am I to say no to Leonard Fournette?
So we'll use those little nuggets of gold, I'm sure, tonight and overanalyze and dig into things.
Dub your voice over mine and go, how are things in
Wyoming?
Wyoming. All right. Obviously, this is not like a full-blown kind of practice. There's no contact. If there is one thing that you're looking for out here, what would it be?
That is a really great
question.
When there's not, that's exactly right.
We've all spotted.
We've all spotted, and is dressed appropriately, I do might add. He is from head down, covered from trying to get out of the sun. Nick Foles throwing a spiral.
There you go.
As easy as that and simple as that is, that's what we all want to see in the
spiral is back.
Non-practice practice, right?
That's
it. Spiral is back. We did see Leonard Fournette over there on the – he was over by WeWare with the position group over there. And he was doing a drill where there was resistance on the football, which I thought was pretty cool. And had this band workout thing where you're running again. They're trying to pull it from the fence. But, yeah, I mean, the fact to be able to see Nick Foles deliver a pretty spiral would be ideal.
Sit down, Hayes Carline. Come join the party. You don't have to leave, Lauren. All hang out, whatever you like.
Three's a company for us.
No, it's Four's 1010XL. We're just blending all the shows. Hi, Hayes Carline, Jaguar embedded reporter from 1010XL and 1010XL.com.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing well.
My two favorite shows, Jaguars Today, Helmets and Heels.
All right, there you go. Well, the Frangie show is everyone's third favorite. It's no question about it. Read your piece yesterday. I saw
you tweeted
out. Of course, I always read your stuff at 1010XL.com. Just kind of things you're looking for and things we should all be looking for at OTAs. Give us a sample.
Yeah, I think, obviously Lauren hit it. I think Nick Foles seeing a rhythm. This is an environment with the rules structured the way they are and the defense not allowing really any contact. They should look pretty awesome out here. This should look pretty precise. Hasn't always been that way. So far I think so good when it comes to that.
Hang on, let me interrupt you. Hacker, fatherhood, still loving it?
Very little sleep.
All right. Very little sleep. That's the late.
Enjoy that for another 20 years.
It's going exactly as it should. Sorry, Hayes. Please continue.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think when you look at that, Josh Allen looks incredibly impressive going through drills. Physically, he looks like a guy that's been in the league for 5 years already. Really encouraged to see him. I'll tell you one thing, one player who's not going through anything today, but I thought was really encouraging, Marquise Lee's working out on the side field, just running in a straight line. Looks really good. I don't know if you guys saw him down there.
He hasn't had anything on the knee for a long time, man. I mean, Tony and I see him quite a bit down here, and he always tells us he feels great. Everything's going along great. So
And Doug put forth the timeline, I think, back at the combine of late preseason. So to see him running at the speed he's able to run out today, just working off on the side with Benny Cunningham, I thought that was really encouraging. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, Doug kind of said before practice started that, you know, this is sort of spring training. They don't want to go – they don't want the intensity to be too high on the first OTA day. And the temperatures are probably a little higher than what they expected, you know, when they were planning this out a couple weeks ago, months ago. But
yeah, it's a hot week, brother. Let
it
me
is.
Tell you
and
what.
And it's only going to get – you know, it'll be interesting if they – they're off tomorrow. Be interested to see if on Friday after Thursday's practice, if they move that indoors. But yeah, I think it's great. Jan's here. How do you not love Yannick Ngakoue?
I thought it was fantastic. Yeah. You know, and look, I wouldn't have made a big deal out of it if he wasn't here.
Oh, sure.
Again, these guys.
I wouldn't be here if I was Yannick Ngakoue.
Look, it's the thing is, you're at risk no matter where you are. It's not like Yannick Ngakoue, if he wasn't here, was sitting on his couch eating bonbons, right? I mean, he's going to be working out to some degree. You have more protection when you're here because if you get injured away from the team facility, if the team chooses to, they can play some hardball with you. And, look, we saw it with Reuben Foster yesterday. There's just no getting around it. Football involves, you know, strenuous activity. And this is not even anywhere near as strenuous as it's going to be. Guys get hurt. You know, it's just you just got to hope for good fortune in that department. I think that's – look, as much as we all want to see the Nick Foles spirals,
sure,
if they come out of OTAs for the next 2 weeks, Tony, 100% healthy – that's probably number one on the list.
Yeah, guys get hurt in the weight room. Guys get hurt doing the conditioning test. You know, like we've seen that happen in the NFL. When you're doing football activities, guys can get hurt. There's
Dante Fowler got hurt on the second snap of his rookie minicamp.
There's
on a very routine,
absolutely,
just basically a very non-intense drill against the tackle at the time, Watts Dantzler, and just went down. I mean,
sure,
just, you know. So it is. It's one of those things that, you know, you hate it for Washington. And that's the last thing this team needs. The depth is not as good as it has been probably certainly the last 2 years.
They're already dealing with Telvin. He's not here.
Yeah, so
that's it. That needs to be the end of the list.
Right, absolutely.
All right, we mentioned Nick Foles and Josh Allen and some guys we want to keep eyes on, but the position group that I think is still in question is the tight end, right? I mean, there may be some – did they find their guy? Is there going to be a guy – how much do you think we'll be able to tell from what we see regarding that position?
My prediction is that it's just going to be a position where there's no one guy. You know what I mean? You're going to see a bunch of guys between 20 to 35 catches, you know. And
does it need to be do they need to be a guy?
I think ultimately you want to hope that Josh Oliver becomes that guy, right?
Because if he's a good enough blocker that he can be on the field for you whenever you want him on the field.
And that's the key, right? You don't want to tip off. Like when Josh Oliver's on the field, you don't want to alert the defense while he's only out here to catch passes, you know, and it's obviously a pass play. But for this year, look, we'll find out, right? I mean, I think you're going to see some improvement from some of the receivers simply because, I mean, we kid about it, but there will be spirals thrown in proximity to their hands and, you know, more frequently, and that will make them look better. They need to do a better job. There were plenty of drops last year as well. We'll see. Maybe Chris Connolly can add something to this team. Maybe Marquise Lee can be ready to go full speed a little bit earlier than we expected. But what about you, Hayes? I mean, do you expect one tight end to kind of emerge in terms of being the pass catcher, or are they going to be a tight end by committee kind of squad?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it would be surprising to see Josh Oliver be able to do that as a rookie. And I really don't think Swaim or O'Shaughnessy has that ability. So it would only be if Josh Oliver ends up being the steal of the draft.
Tony, where did O'Shaughnessy end up on the list of receptions last year?
He was like fifth.
Fifth?
Yeah.
He was like the fifth leading receiver
fifth or sixth.
On
he
this
had like
team
22,
last year.
I think last year. I think the Swaim signing when they made it is interesting because that's a guy coming out of Dallas that if injuries hadn't gotten in his way, I don't know what it would look like for a Jeff Swaim guy, right? Like I think of the players they have on their team, he's the one that fits the can do both right now. The best, I think Josh Oliver is going to be a better threat offensively for this football team because he appears to be a better athlete than Jeff Swaim. But I think early on in the season, I wouldn't be surprised if you see a lot of those snaps going to Swaim while Oliver gets adjusted to the physical level that is demanded of you at the NFL. In the NFL, where if you're going to be out there and have to block somebody, you got to block. Like, you have to be 100% committed. Like, that can't be a half-in, half-out thing, and we'll see what it looks like for him.
Long as me describe Josh Oliver as a guy who doesn't love contact, yeah, right, based on watching him on films. Once he has the contact, he does a decent job.
Right.
But he doesn't exactly relish.
Right, where Quincy seems to relish the contact.
Oh, gosh.
Like, the question with him is more how is he going to adjust to the speed
of
an NFL game. Like, with Oliver, it does seem to be more of a how is he going to adjust to the physicality that is demanded playing in the NFL.
So we talked about this yesterday, Lauren and Hayes, that who would be the top pass catchers on this team. And you start to think about the different roles that they play. And you got to expect D.D. Westbrook is going to be among the top guys. If Marquise Lee is healthy, he's going to be among that. They have, I would expect, big expectations for DJ Chark as a second-round pick, and he contributes on special teams. They went out and targeted Chris Connolly. How tough is it, you guys, do you think, for Keelan Cole to be active on game day, Lauren? Is he in an uphill struggle? I mean, can he reclaim what we saw from him in 2017?
You absolutely hope that that's the case. One of the conversations we had, and again, different quarterbacks, so maybe it's not a fair comparison, but this idea that there wasn't a number one receiver last year, did that end up hurting? I mean, everything hurt this team last year offensively, but did that end up coming into play? You hope with a new quarterback here that he finds his rhythm. I mean, we joke about, well, you don't really see much and they don't really hit each other. But what you hope over the next few months is before things get going in September or August, I can't even remember anymore when we started. It feels like August. But that Nick Foles finds a guy that he knows that he can rely on and count on, and that I believe you have to have a number one emerge from all this. Now, whether or not Keelan Cole comes into the conversation, you hope so. I mean, signs of greatness, but there's got to be strides made. And maybe just changing out the quarterback and the offensive coordinator makes everybody already a step ahead. I don't know.
Right. I'm not writing him off, Hayes, but, I mean, you know, I think going in right now, look at him kind of as the five on this team. And if you're not contributing on special teams, if you're the fifth receiver, there's a good chance you're not up on game day.
Yeah, I asked Doug about Keelan earlier today at his availability. I'm going to talk to Keelan after practice, and I'm interested in just finding out, you know, what did you take out of last year? You know, he goes from nearly 800 or 750 yards receiving to 500 yards.
He went 8 games without more than 3 targets.
Yeah.
8.
Yeah, he disappeared. Yeah. And, you know, how much, you know, you can blame it on Blake. You can blame it on the firing of Nathaniel Hackett. But at some point, you know, Keelan Cole, and I'm not saying he hasn't, but I'm interested in seeing what kind of accountability does Keelan Cole have from last year. And I'm interested in seeing, does he put it on the quarterback? Does he put it on the all the chaos that they had in terms of injuries and personnel? Or did Keelan pick up on some things from watching him where he's like, look, I've got to be better. He's entering his third year. And traditionally, that is a year where a receiver in this league can make a huge step forward. I think Keelan has shown signs of being a player that can last in this league for several years. But I think it's going to be interesting because I think a big part of it is where is Keelan's mental approach to this? What are some areas that he saw that were deficient in terms of ball security, and how has he gone about trying to fix them?
All right, Hayes Carline, you can catch him this afternoon on the Franchi Show, and you'll hear, I would expect, his interview with Keelan Cole later on today, and I'm sure we'll be catching up with Hayes throughout the OTAs at various times. We appreciate you pulling aside. For folks
sure
who, obviously, we're not, like, live streaming this on the web, Hayes is sitting here taking notes, watching. He's like, never, didn't look at me once the whole 15 minutes. He's just like watching the field. He's taking notes in shorthand, and he's still giving you complex thoughts. He's split his brain right down the middle very well, Hayes. Appreciate you stopping by.
Sure, of course, thing.
Lauren, always
yes,
nice
you.
To see you as well. And
likewise.
Enjoy Helmets and Heels tonight.
Thank you.
We'll be listening for that, as we always do. My second favorite show on the big stick. All right, that's going to do it for this segment. We'll come back. We'll hear from Doug Marrone on Nick Foles and some of the incoming rookie class as well. There's Joe C. rocking that gorgeous beard of his right now. He does have quite a beard that makes me jealous. All right, we'll take our final timeout and come back another 15 or 20 minutes of Jaguars today. Still to come right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Good, man. Get ready for practice. You know, I come get a little shade because it's the last time I see this for these next 2 hours. So,
see, we got called soft because we went to the
we
tent.
Did.
You came straight to the
yeah.
tent, and
yeah.
you're just smart is what you are.
I'm working smarter, not harder. That's all.
That's Leonard Fournette swinging by before practice, man. The tent has paid off already.
Yeah.
If for nothing else for the next 2 weeks. Keeping me cool, A, number one. Number two, Leonard Fournette popping in. It will be the last time for the next couple hours. We'll be out here every day, Leonard. When you're practicing, we're practicing as well. We're performing here on Jaguars today. We'll get back to a couple of thoughts here from Doug Marrone as well, as he spoke before practice today. If you missed it earlier, like, no update on Telvin. Until you hear something new, you can presume there's no update on Telvin. Unique Ngakoue is out here. The contract situation, that's out of Doug Marrone's hands. He's not concerned about that. But he said all along, throughout the offseason, Unique's been in contact with him. And really, not to beat the horse that it's been in the grave for weeks now, it seems like. But that's all you'd ask for Telvin. If
sure.
you just have that communication directly with the team, I think I'd look at the situation a lot more benevolently, but whatever. It is what it is. He's not here. You can presume he's not going to be here this year. So
I would presume, yes.
We do see some spirals out on the football field, which is nice.
It's kind of nice.
It
yeah.
is nice.
I mean, we talk about the OTAs. It's more about you can tell when the guy doesn't have it. There is no indication that Nick Foles is anywhere close to not having it.
Right. I mean, that doesn't mean we're putting him in the Pro Bowl or no. anything like that. But, you know, you're seeing the kind of
he's
throws you'd want to see.
Very accurate.
Out of him.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's good, and that has not always been the case.
Right.
Over
when
the last
they're running
5 years.
7-on-7, we watched the ball hit the ground a lot for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and 7-on-7 for a decade. Basically, it feels like now. It's,
certainly the last 5.
Yeah. Today, the ball has not been hitting the ground much. So it's a good sign.
Right. I shouldn't even bring it up, but that first minicamp practice.
It was unbelievable.
Rookie minicamp for play. I mean, everyone's just looking at each other like, what's going on?
What have they done?
How can he not throw the football? And then he had like good practices like the next couple of
sure.
days. But that first one just burned in your memory. It was like,
yeah.
What?
Well, Foles feels like a type of guy where the good practices are going to vastly outnumber the bad.
It's a look,
you know, like, and they should.
Guys won Super Bowl MVP. If you can't show up on the first day of OTAs and throw some spirals
right.
between the numbers.
Oh, this was the expectation.
This is a major
right.
mistake.
This was the expectation, and you've seen exactly what you thought you were going to see out of Nick Foles.
Right. Nothing to go crazy over, but
no.
nothing to worry about either. Here is Doug Marrone before practice today, courtesy of our friends at Jaguars.com on Nick Foles fitting in with his teammates so far.
Nick set a great example with, you know, hey, listen, I'm just focusing on getting to know my teammates. That's the first thing that you need to do. So, you know, these players, you know, that are coming in, or even if you're a player that's here, you know, you want to be able to open yourself up to get to know one another. And I think that's the most important thing. I think from then it goes by what you do as far as example of how you handle your business, and then you have to really, you know, continually, you know, try to reach out and try to touch all the different elements of a team.
Here's the one thing most new quarterbacks in a situation don't have the Super Bowl MVP, right? I mean, that's instant credibility. You know,
yeah.
You're coming as a rookie. It takes you, even if it's your job, it takes you a few years to gain the respect of the veterans unless you're, like, lights out right off the bat. You know, this guy walks in with that credibility. He's done the right thing so far. Look, it's only May. We're not trying to get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, we're talking
here.
About what's happening in front of us.
Right. It is what it is up until this point.
Yeah, yeah. Coach Marrone also asked this morning, this more along the lines of what OTAs really turn into. It's not about making a team, as Doug Marrone said this morning. We've heard veterans say this over and over and over again, including Leon Searcy here on 1010 XL. But it's not about making the team, but certainly these young guys can get themselves cut with whatever they do in these workouts.
No one's really going to make the team now, but you can get, you know, released from the team if, you know, you're not following rules, or if you're on the ground, or you're putting people in potential of getting injured, or, you know, maybe you're not picking things up the way we think, you know, that you should. You know, those are the things that happen now. No one's going to, you know, all of a sudden after this period of time, whether it's this or the mandatory minicamp, you know, we're going to turn around and say, oh, we got to change this because we saw this happen during this time of year.
Yeah, if you're waiting for us to say then who looks like they shouldn't be on the team, I can't tell you. I'm like,
yeah,
we're sitting 75 yards away from the action, glancing out there, and mostly looking at number seven throw the spiral.
Guys who don't look like they should be on the team likely won't be on the team.
Correct. Well, I'm not going to worry about that. They're right. There are 90 guys
at the first
here.
OTA.
If you're that guy, we're not going to be talking about you too much going forward anyway. Now, speaking of talking about guys, right, the first three rounds, you expect some level of contribution
sure.
right away. And these guys, we've talked a ton about Josh Allen. You know, what a fortunate set of events that led to him falling to the Jaguars. Juwan Taylor, amazing that this is a guy that had been talked about potentially as a top 10 pick, even to the Jags with the seventh pick. You get him in the second round. The importance of Quincy Williams in the Telvin Smith situation. Josh Oliver, we haven't talked as much about, right? And obviously we're well aware of him as a guy who comes in with a reputation of being a skilled pass catcher and has some work to do in the physical aspects of the game, but, you know, played for a program that was not very good. Doug Marone was asked his thoughts this morning before practice on Josh Oliver.
I think it's you know, it's a work in progress. I think that, you know, Jeff's come in and he's done a really good job. He's healthy. He looks well rounded. Looks like, you know, he may be able to do a lot of things for us, you know, with Josh, obviously, you know, he's new. So, you know, just seeing him out there running, I think those are the things, you know, obviously he's a heck of an athlete that can run and catch. So, you know, we're just going to, you know, keep progressing with them and, you know, keep getting them better. And I think a lot of it will depend on them, you know, of what they can do. And how much they can do, but right now they've done a good job of showing us that, you know, they can do a lot of things. So it's going to be interesting as we progress during these OTAs.
Yeah, I just don't, you know, again, Josh Oliver, you hope turns into great weapon eventually for the Jags. You'd like it to happen immediately. I just think, you know, just temper your expectations on him coming in and having that massive role. Immediately, he's asked about Josh Oliver, he being Doug Marone, and he goes right to Jeff Swaim.
Yep.
Right, like the veteran, this guy shows he can do pretty much everything. You know, he can give you something in the run game, pass protection, and in the receiving game as well. So I think that's going to be a work in progress with Josh Oliver, but that's
sure.
what you expected when they took him.
Look, the NFL is such a drastic step up from whatever level of competition you're playing at, even if you're playing at an Alabama or Ohio State. Like, it's still a massive step up when you get to the NFL level. And for a guy like Josh Oliver, it's that much more because of where he went to school. It is a completely different ballgame now. And, yeah, you do want him hanging off the hip of whatever veterans you have available for him to hang off the hip of. And for this football team, that happens to be Jeff Swaim and James O'Shaughnessy. So, yeah, I'm not surprised at all that the coach – we've seen coaches for how long? We've had NFL football here for 25 years, so we've been watching coaches for 25 years. When you ask them about rookies and mentioning veterans, this is what they do. It is what they preach. It's what they teach. And it's certainly the message that I'm sure they're giving these guys behind the scenes as well, to find somebody, learn how to do this at this level, because it's not an easy adjustment to make.
All right, Tony, today's question of the day for Jaguars Today, presented by Gravely Zero Turn Mowers, an American workhorse since 1916. We asked, who tops your list of Jaguars that exceeded your expectations when they came to the team? In other words, boy, when we got him, we hoped for the best, but wow, did he really turn out to be something special.
Sure.
Give us a sample of some of the responses.
Here's some of the names we got from the professor. We got David Garrard with an honorable mention for Reggie Barlow. From JagFan15, Telvin Smith, played at an all-pro level. From David Mojo, an excellent pick, and he exceeded my expectations. From Kylo Rob Meyer. From Jeff, he mentions Rasheen Mathis, who got mentioned quite a bit. From Douglas, Unique Ngakoue. I wanted them to take Shalik Calhoun, and that was one time I was definitely wrong. From Jeff, the impact Puzlesny had on the team for years far exceeded what I expected from his on-field ability. And from BCB Couch, and probably the name that should top the list, Jimmy Smith, went from a street free agent,
you know,
and a special teams gunner return guy to
greatest receiver in team history.
Greatest receiver in team history, and the argument is the best player in team history.
All right, in the argument, it's not laughable to put him in the argument. Certainly a top three player to this point in the franchise's history. I thought it was interesting. Got some Telvins in there. You know, he was a fifth round pick, undersized guy, and to have led the National Football League in tackles for the last half decade is pretty good stuff. You know. But Jimmy really is the right answer. I mean, if you're having a debate. That would be the right answer. Rob Meyer's the name that always comes to mind
for
me.
For
you know,
sure,
I just love Rob Meyer. Was as humble and unassuming as anybody. But Sunday afternoon, he'd go out there and knock heads, and was the third leg of that trio.
Such a crucial third leg.
I mean, right? You know, you could put him in there. And was he Henderson or Stroud? No.
No.
But you didn't go, oh, my gosh, now we got to cover for this guy.
Right. Those years with Henderson and Stroud, the defensive line would have been good. Even if they didn't have a Rob Meyer, it was great with him.
Yeah.
Right? It was the idea of when Henderson or Stroud needed a breather and you put this guy on the field and he's making plays. Whenever you put him out there, he is dominating when he's been given his opportunities. It's hard to find that kind of rotation, and it's so important along the defensive line. They had it with those three guys, no doubt.
Just a good dude, too, man. Like some Rob Meyer around these parts. All right, practice is going to go on for close to another hour if they stick out there for the full time. Supposed to go to 12:45 today. I hear some yelling and instruction. I even saw Tom Coughlin giving a little direction to DJ Chark a little bit earlier, right after he caught a pass. So everybody getting involved to one degree or another. They're running some special teams punt return drills right now. Hacker was out here today. Let's get his thoughts as we check in with XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
At Moe's, our caterings come with everything except leftovers. Order your office, private event, or tailgate catering today online at moescateringfl.com.
Hacker Nation, how are you, brother?
Gentlemen, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
It's always good to see you out here strutting your stuff. You're one of the first out on the scene, and I appreciate that it has begun. You know, I put you on the spot a lot, and you never fail to deliver, Hack. So
I tried to come through for you there in the clutch, Mike.
You're a good man, Hack. You're a clutch performer. There's no question about it. Now, we can't get into too many specifics or anything, but just in general, OTAs not only today but going forward for the next couple of weeks. Give me two or three things that you'd like to see.
No, I want to see the right tackle position, not to get too specific, but I had never seen – Cedric Oboihe up close and personal. He's one of those guys that when you walk out there and the O-line was near where we were over there on that side of the field, Oboihe sticks out. And you wonder, former first-round pick, obviously did not work out for him at all in Cincinnati, if that light ever goes on and he rekindles what he had in college and will let him to be a first-round pick, maybe it's not so easy for Juwan Taylor. That'll certainly be something to follow in OTAs and you know, his training camp approaches. And then I looked at the running backs a lot, too. Boy, a big group of backs, man. Five guys, not one of them lighter than 215. So the Jaguars got some big boys in the backfield.
Yeah, they want to come downhill at you. I saw Reichel Armstead. I only saw him caught one pass and looked like he handled it pretty smoothly. Was not a guy who was targeted very much as a receiver in college. But, boy, I heard somebody describe him on a website as a plotter. I'm like, have you watched Reichel Armstead's tape? Like, what are you talking about? This guy gets downhill in a hurry, and can once he gets up by a full head of steam, he can move it. All right, Hack, that's a good point. And, you know, with a boy, even if he doesn't push for the starting role, look, quality depth, we saw last year how crucial that is on the offensive line. So, you know, look, making the team right now is probably job number one for him, but good name to keep an eye on. Hack, have a great show today, all right?
Mike, appreciate it. And remember, not just quality depth. It's all about veteran leadership as well.
Veteran leadership and probably mixing a little camaraderie and fellowship in there as well. All right, Hack.
Thanks, Mike.
Have a good one, brother. All right, Hacker, along with Joe C. with the glorious beard, Matt Hayes, Leon Searcy, who's probably glad he's not out here sweating like the old days, man. And I'm going to be standing out there. I'll decide. You know, it's good for the skin cancer or the non-skin cancer to go with the sleeves for
sure.
Me. I could just opt for the suntan lotion, you know, but
sure.
It's just more work, it seems to me. And so I'll decide. I'll tell you in about 30 minutes whether that was a wise choice.
Okay.
You know, because I have a feeling my internal core temperature may be on the rise very soon here, Tony.
Yeah, it's not dry out here.
No, it's not.
It's
tomorrow,
humid and it's warm.
Well, D-Rock and over at World Headquarters tomorrow as they're doing some stuff.
We react to day one. Unique Ngakoue going to speak after practice. So
Unique
we'll
speak.
We'll get reaction to that
right?
as well.
And we do know how to say Unique, but since Leonard Fournette was kind enough to stop by and pop in under the tent, who knows? Maybe the tent will grab us some guests throughout the course of OTAs.
Maybe Leonard was misleading us. Maybe it's some inside joke that we don't know about. You know?
With the Unique thing?
Unique, yeah.
Well, I think
maybe
he's,
it is his name. I don't know.
No, I don't think it's his actual name. I think he's saying get it right, like he's a unique player. I didn't take.
I don't know.
Oh, I totally took it that way. I didn't take it like he was saying this is the right way to pronounce his name. I think he was just saying this is the Leonard Fournette way to pronounce his name. And I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
Whatever works, guys.
27. You know, he worked out this offseason in Wyoming.
You may have heard.
I don't know if you heard.
He did. Is this going to be like the coffee cup?
Or are we
going
to go back? An idiot.
Are you like after the show? Is you going to make?
I'm not going to dub it in. I have a water bottle right by my foot now. If you missed that one in Sunday night's Game of Thrones, and the water bottle in addition to the Starbucks cup from a few weeks ago, that'll do it for us today. And, well, it is to water bottles and coffee cups. Anyway, that does it for us today. Thanks again to Leonard Fournette for popping by, JP Shadrick from Jaguars.com and the Jaguars, all their media circles. Of course, Hayes Carline, Lauren Rue as well. For E.T., for Tony, for Joe Fortunato and the whole 1010XL crew, I'm Mike Dempsey. Back again tomorrow from 10 to noon with D-Rock on board from ESPN right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville, let's go to the